you're giving me the opportunity to be exposed to new podcasters that may not know anything about us, but at the same time, we want to be able to promote your show so you grow as well with this. So people that don't promote shows that they're on, and it's just a wasted opportunity.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with the podcast on podcasting, and I'm honored and a little bit humbled and a little bit floored and surprised and excited. And is Twitter painted a good... I'm really happy to have Todd Cochran on the show. He's the OG. I mean, I didn't even know that there was anything called a podcast until 2015. So in 2015, I was like, holy cow, there's these things called podcasts. And somebody taught me about it. And I had the wrong kind of phone, so I couldn't even do it. So actually, I purchased an iPhone for the first time in 2015 or 16 because I wanted to start listening to podcasts because I just found out about them. But if you go 11 years before that, Todd already had a podcast up and running. So in 2004, he had Geek News Central. It's kind of cool because Geek News Central fulfills a niche and hits an avatar that got one company excited. And if I don't know if you've ever heard of this teeny tiny company called GoDaddy, but actually just, Todd, I just bought a website off of GoDaddy, literally right before I started this show, before we started recording all of these episodes, I had to buy something for several thousand dollars from GoDaddy.
You should have used my promo code.
I will go back in history if I could, but I bought growyourshow.com. Growyourshow.com. Awesome. It rhymes. It's simple. It's short. And everything else was .net, .io, but I actually used GoDaddy. So GoDaddy sponsors Todd's original show that he founded in 2004. And what's really remarkable is just on that podcast alone, because you don't know this yet, he's got three, but on that first podcast alone, he has over 1,500 tech shows, 1,500 episodes. And so GoDaddy's his main sponsor there. And he's publishing approximately two-ish episodes every single week on that show. And he's got this other show that I don't... When did you start the new media show?
Started 10 years ago, but it had a different name, but same, almost the same type of content. But we made the switch about 3 years in. But yeah, about 10 years on the new media show.
Okay, so the new media show, still 5 years before I even knew of the old media show. And the new media show, he's a co-host, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. They're doing two episodes a week currently. And then he actually has a third show, a third podcast that really comes from his company. So his company is Blueberry Podcast. And what they do is, if you've ever heard of Buzzsprout or Libsyn, there's so many of them. I used to use a company called Zencast. And so he's got this show that is sponsored or created by Blueberry Podcast. It's called Podcast Insider. And so you might want to subscribe to all three of these. And I'm going to let you answer the rest of the questions and just give me a little bit of the background that I should have said that helps to show who you are. And what we're really going to be diving into as soon as we know all that is, this is going to be exciting because this podcast, I think we're titling it the worst podcasting advice ever show, like the worst podcasting advice ever show. And first off, Todd, before you get into your background, can you tell me why I decided to call this the worst podcasting ever show?
It's partly because I've been listening to some of the advice being given on Clubhouse right now, and I just about have a stroke every time I listen. There's about 80% good, but about 20% that's really bad. So, yeah, so lots of so-called experts on that platform right now. So just be careful.
Love it. I'm excited. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get Todd's blood to boil. I'm going to try to get him to talk to us about the absolute worst things that he's ever heard, whether it's on Clubhouse or just anywhere, just the worst advice ever. So let's dive in a little bit about just three things. What did I miss about Geek News Central, that one podcast? What did I miss? What is it about? Who does it serve? Why did you start it? Why do you keep it going on?
It's real simple. I started as a blogger in 2002, and I was a really bad blogger. I mean, bad. So there was like maybe 300 people a week that were coming to the website. So when I heard about podcasting in 2004, I have the gift of gab. So I thought this is the perfect opportunity just to talk versus write. And I launched the show, and it went absolutely stratospheric from the very, very beginning. And little did I know, starting that podcast, and you know, there's a whole genesis story behind that, but starting that show led to a book deal, led to a sponsorship, led to building a network, led to launching a company. So everything that has happened since I started that show, Blueberry wouldn't exist today without having that show been started on I-35 in a hotel in Waco, Texas, of all places. Now, the show really kind of grew up in Hawaii, and I'm currently now in Michigan for the last 18 months, but really that show was the basis upon a lot of the stuff that I've done in the space and how we built the company and some of the genesis behind the way we do business as a podcast host.
What did you do for a living before you started Blueberry Podcast? In 2002, when you were blogging, what were you doing for income?
Yeah, I was in the United States Navy. I was a sailor, enlisted, and I retired in 2007 and went podcasting full time at that point. Actually, it's kind of ironic. I ran the podcast full time for many years without actually going on payroll at Blueberry, just to prove that as a podcaster, I could build a show, make enough income to make this work. I truly walked the walk and talked the talk, because it would have been kind of hypocritical if I had said, you can make money in podcasting and grow your show and build a... You can't do that without having done it yourself. So for many, many years, the show sustained my lifestyle in Hawaii, paid the mortgage, insurance bill, all that stuff. So I felt it'd be really important to be able to come to people with that genuine, you know, they knew. That's what my audience knew, and people I talked to in the podcasting space knew that.
I like that. You've almost made me speechless, because I'm still processing it. I think that's really interesting. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I've always had a business, and I've always had different businesses. One of them was multifamily apartment communities and doing real estate. And I had a podcast, not because I wanted to make money through the podcast, but because I thought that I wouldn't be able to make money through my business without, you know, having the authority. And it did help. It certainly helped when I started that first podcast, which now I've sold. What was kind of cool is I would be sitting down with a potential passive investor. A passive investor is technically just somebody who wants to be part of your real estate deal, but they don't want to do it. They just want to be the money. And so they're the smartest people ever, or they're leveraging other people's time and other people's experience. But I thought to myself, I'm not going to be able to raise this money unless I have authority. And so I'd be sitting down with a past investor. I'd just let them know that I had a podcast. They would listen to some, and then they would start doing business. So I never made money with my podcast until at least 3 years into it, partially because I didn't have a big listenership for having sponsors, but also because I didn't know how to do it, right? But it did still technically funnel in the way that I made money. So it was still helpful. And then you've got a second podcast. It's called The Second of Three. The second one is called New Media Show. And you're a co-host. Isn't that the one where you said if you listen to that one from the beginning, you get a PhD in podcasting?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's unique about the New Media Show, and there's nothing like else in the podcasting space, it's a show about podcasting and what's going on in the space. And my co-host works at Libsyn. He's Rob Greenlee. He's one of their team members over there. So Rob and I have known each other for many, many years. Rob's changed jobs. He was at Podcast One for a while. He was with Microsoft. He's been and worked at Spreaker. So he's had a number of podcast jobs. He's currently at Libsyn. So we'll see how long he lasts there. I'm just joking. But so him and I have known each other prior to him really being even involved with a podcast company. So we were friends first. So that's part of the reason we're able to do a podcast together. And we bounce on each other a little bit. He'll dig on Blueberry a little bit. I'll dig on Libsyn a little bit, and we have fun. And we just break it down. We're brutally honest. Matter of fact, the show is sometimes we get people mad at us because we just basically lay it down and say what we feel and tell the truth, and give our opinions and really dig in deep to the issues that are happening in the podcasting space today.
So one obvious question is, for you, you could probably have just as much success doing the New Media Show without a co-host. And when you piggyback on, no, No,
I don't think so. I don't think it evolved that way. I don't think so. I think, you know, a lot of people are doing individual podcast shows, but I think the dynamic of that show is unique in itself. And that's why we have a high number of podcasters listening to it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad to be corrected on it. I was just thinking to myself, like, there is so many people that would not partner on a actual podcast with a co-host that was a direct competitor. If I understand it correctly, and actually, I'll be honest, I use Libsyn. That's who hosts this show. So you've got Libsyn, and then you've got Blueberry, and they both, am I wrong? Do they serve the exact same audience? Do they both serve podcasters? They both host the platforms. What's kind of the difference between them, and why are you not afraid that you're going to lose business by having somebody from another company?
What's interesting is I don't think the topic's even come up in my company or Rob's about it. And, you know, we're respective of each other's businesses. They are similar, but yet different. Okay. We have a different value proposition than Libsyn does for our podcasters. You know, our value proposition is simple. We believe podcasters should build their brands on their .coms. They should own their stack. They shouldn't be on a lockdown vertical. We're well known for our PowerPress plugin. It powers about 85,000 podcasters globally. Works with WordPress. You know, that's you know, we're well known for that. We work with any platform, but Libsyn is more about come over to Libsyn and publish on the Libsyn platform and be, you know, at Libsyn with your website. Now there's Libsyn users that have their own .coms. So there is a little intermix there. Matter of fact, there are some Libsyn customers that actually use our PowerPress plugin. That's the crazy thing too. We feel we have a better value proposition as far as saving time and publishing your show and that kind of stuff. But that's a whole marketing pitch. But I think that when it comes to podcasts, Rob and I are, first of all, we're both podcasters. There's very few podcasting companies that have people within the companies that have actually done podcasts for years. They might have hired that out, have someone do it, but we have our own podcast and we're independent podcasters at heart. So we have a big affinity to making sure that independent podcasters are given the information they need to know to have successful shows. And at the same time, we talk about the business of podcasting and things that's going on. And we talk about the Rogan deal and all these things that are happening in space. But in the end, we serve independent podcasters. That's 95% of the podcasting space today. So the show serves those podcasters.
Okay. And to the listener, we're still going to get into the worst podcasting advice ever. This is going to be the worst podcasting advice ever show. However, I just think it's so important to get to know Todd before we dive into all of that. So stay with us. Really excited about where this is going. I have a question about your company since I haven't used and worked with you yet. And what it sounds like is that when you're doing a Libsyn one or someone else, I'm not trying to, you know, when you're doing some of the other companies, it's like the RSS feed is published on that website, but it almost sounds like what you're telling me is you're helping us or supporting us or building it for us, where like I have my feed on growyourshow.com, for example. That's where I put my feed. I don't log into your platform. You just help me log into my own platform. Is that kind of what you're saying? Or,
yeah. So what it really boils down to is you can host your media with us and you can use all of our promotion tools and everything that we offer. We have IAB certified statistics and all this stuff that we're famous for. But the main thing is, and the main difference is when you're on your .com, and let's just say WordPress, and you go to do a blog post, really, the only difference between a blog post and a podcast is the media file that is attached to it as an enclosure in that RSS feed. You write your show notes, write your title, you know, you upload the media right in WordPress and you hit publish and you're done. Your podcast is published. And I've said for many, many years, you never build your castle on rented land. So What I mean by rented land is if you're over on some of our competitors, you're renting your RSS feed from them. And if they ever have a business value change, which most don't, but maybe some of the free hosts out there, they get under money pressures and stuff. Maybe their business model has to change and you might find yourself in an extinction event with your show. We've seen that happen before where businesses were shut down. People lost everything. They lost their audience, lost their feed, lost their episodes. They may have the physical media backed up, but everything else is gone. So I always say you never build your podcast on rental land. You have your own .com. And that includes your feed in PowerPress. The plugin allows you to have your own RSS feed. And RSS feed's here's a little secret. And, you know, everyone says, oh, can you syndicate me here, here, and here? All RSS feeds are created equal. There's no difference between an RSS feed from Libsyn or an RSS feed or Buzzsprout or an RSS feed that's on your PowerPress website. It's just who owns it. And yes, you're renting, you're paying for it. If you don't keep paying for it, you'll be fine. But the main thing is when it's on your .com, you truly own it and control it. And you get the same distribution as everyone else. There's no difference in the syndication points that you get by having your own feed.
To follow up on that, it sounds like you're saying you can syndicate it to anywhere.
Yeah.
You can. Can it be syndicated to YouTube? Can it be syndicated to a blog? Is it Apple? Is it iHeart? Is it Stitcher? Is it Google Play and all that?
Everywhere that a podcast is consumed, it can go. And if you want to push it to YouTube, then you use social tools to push it into YouTube and those platforms. There's not automatic distribution into YouTube with our platform. But again, it's really about you deciding where you want to be, just like any other podcaster deciding where they want their content to be. And most people want to be everywhere. We don't care where they consume it, well as they consume it. And the analogy I use is that when I'm promoting and marketing my podcast, I push into Moonbase Alpha. And where's Moonbase Alpha? Moonbase Alpha is newmediashow.com, geeknewscentral.com, podcastinsider.com. And then when they get to the website and find the website, they can subscribe right there via whatever. They want to go to Spotify. They want to go to TuneIn. They want to go to Google Podcasts. We give them all the options to subscribe from there. But Moonbase Alpha is back where my .com is. It's where I live. It's where I build my brand, grow my show. And it's part of my strategy I've used for building Geek News Central. It's why I've been able to keep a sponsor, the same sponsor for 15 years.
Yeah.
There's a whole story behind that. We could spend an hour on that.
We don't have time. So as far as your company, is it subscription-based?
Sure. Yeah, it just is. Like it is. It is subscription-based.
So I hate to, I don't know how else to say this, but to make it sound like I'm challenging you. If Libsyn and others are rented, but we still have to pay a subscription when we work with you, what makes it different exactly?
What makes it different is I could turn Blueberry as a company off tomorrow and PowerPress will continue to work without us. You will have to find a new media host, but you will continue to operate. Your site will not go down. I could turn the switch off on all the servers right now and you'd be, you know, you'd be a little say, hey, if you're hosting with me and think, hey, the hosting's gone. But, you know, you would have to find a new host, but your show would not suffer an extinction event. You would still be online. You'd have to get a place to host your media somewhere else, of course. But again, that's kind of a unique value proposition is I can go away and you can still continue on with your podcast. You'll have to make some adjustments. Okay. But if Libsyn went out of business, you'd have to make some adjustments too. So we're not going out of business. We're a strong company.
How many, you say you had like 60,000, I couldn't remember, but it was, you have a ton of subscriptions.
Yeah, right? There's 85,000 shows that use our service at various levels. So, you know, that's the grand total. Some of them use our stats only, some use our hosting only, some use the plugin and don't even host with us. So it's a variety of touch points.
Okay. Well, I'm typing this down because I want to learn about this later. And by the way, thanks again for coming on the show.
Yeah,
I'm excited about this. I'm excited to dive into everything that we are. You have a third show. And we want to go into that show in large part because specifically, I believe that this show really serves your audience, your people, and it's almost like giving back to them. And I feel like that's a huge part of what all of us as podcasters should probably be doing is giving back, serving our audience, etc. And so I just want to go into that show before we talk about the worst podcasting advice ever show. So sure. Go ahead. What's the third one? Who do you serve? What kind of content do you put out and how frequent is it?
Podcast Insider is a weekly show. It's the official podcast of Blueberry. It's typically hosted by myself or Mike Dell, who is our lead customer support representative. But it could be, if I'm out, another team member will step in. We've got like 3 to 5 people that can rotate in on the show. And it's basically laid out with a little bit of news of what's going on in space. We talk a little bit about some best practices. So we will spend 15 minutes talking about a best practice for the week. We'll talk about what's happening at Blueberry from a business perspective, what customers can expect, what we're about to roll out, and you know, talk about things that have happened. It's just we're rolling some new stuff out today. So this Thursday, we'll be talking about that product that we rolled out, but we've been priming the pump already the last couple of weeks that this new feature is coming. And then we'll do an interview with a podcaster. And that story is really interesting because we know where podcasters, Blueberry podcasters, are listening to the show. So we want to be able to have them get a perspective of other podcasters, how they started, why they started, what they're getting out of it, what their audience is getting out of it. It's a 30-minute interview, really a genesis story. And it's pretty remarkable the number of different stories and whys and hows people started podcasting. And then we wrap the show up with, you know, something that's maybe come in via Facebook or on social media, or maybe a support ticket that come in that says, how do I do this? And we'll go over a question that one of our customers has asked for the week. Typically, if we don't have any interviews, and we don't run an interview every week, well, that show will run about 30 minutes. And then if we have a interview that are intermixed with it, then it's an hour. But we do that every week, and it's just a way for us to keep our community informed. And also it's a marketing vehicle for the company as well. So we promote that all over social, Instagram, all the places everyone else does.
That's the exact reason why I was asking, because one of the things that can be really smart, and I should probably do it on this show, and I haven't yet, which is surprising. So I'm learning from you. But the fact that you have your own clients as the guest is really smart on that, because you're really highlighting what you do, you're highlighting what they've accomplished, and you're allowing the listener to understand what it would be like to work with you, to feel like, oh, I got to do that too, or oh, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's one of the things that I need to add to this podcast, just from this interview. I'm already doing half of the interviews have been where it's me alone, just doing a monologue, just trying to do something short and concise and really add a lot of value. And then the other half, I explore topics with people like you, where I try to dive deep and understand what to do and how to do it better. And some of the reason why I have you, and I don't know if you'll share it or not, but one of the reasons why I have guests on is because sometimes they will post it on a website page where these are all the interviews that I've ever done. Sometimes they'll put it on social media or send it to their email list. What I've kind of noticed though, and you tell me if this is similar or if you've noticed it, if the higher up or the bigger the name, the less likely, the less probable that they're going to share it. And the smaller the name, if it's their first time ever being on a show, they're so excited that they like publish it everywhere. And they're like, oh my gosh, look at me. I was actually on a podcast. To you, you might not even care because you do it all day, every day. And this is your whole world. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I've learned some lessons from doing interviews myself, because when I do my tech show, but every year I go to Vegas to CES, a consumer electronics show, and I interview companies that are there. And I always try to get the biggest fish. I try to get the technical director, CEO, marketing, whoever it may be, because these guys are usually pretty, they have a swagger, or ladies, they have, you know, a little bit of finesse. And what I have found is that the closer that episode's getting to production, I'm like, hey, we're finishing up production with that episode. We're about ready to put it out. It's going to come this date. And I'm feeding that person this information for several weeks before that episode is published. And then I'm always telling them, hey, make sure you're feeding this back to your PR people. And what we do is kind of stroke their ego a little bit. And that allows them to say, oh, I want people to know that I was on this interview. And we give them a preview. We don't let them change the interview, but we let them get an access to the content before it's published so that they can get hyped for it, because we've had it on the cutting floor a little bit. And then we put it out, and then we get this massive amount of link backs from these major corporations. I was one of three people that interviewed the CEO of GoPro the first year they were at the CES. They got hardly any press coverage the first year. Do you think that guy likes me? Yeah, absolutely. I go to VIP in GoPro when I go and see him now, when I'm at CES or NEB or wherever they may be, because he remembers I was the guy that came in and did an interview with him. Now, as far as this interview goes, you know, I'm no dummy. I'm going to take this information from you. I've got a gal that takes care of the social media with us. I'm going to say, okay, here you go. Promote it. Because you're giving me the opportunity to be exposed to new podcasters that may not know anything about us. But at the same time, we want to be able to promote your show so you grow as well with this. So people that don't promote shows that they're on, and it's just a wasted opportunity. So no, you're going to get good promotion from us.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. I don't think I was trying to fish for that, but I'm really grateful. I am fishing because I want to be on your new media show. I just need to see what I need to do to get on there. I think it'd be fun. I think that'd be just so fun. But regardless, I have one last question that I need to ask you before we dive into today's topic. And does your company, Blueberry, do any podcast post-production?
We actually have a team that does that. It's our Blueberry Pro team. You can find that at blueberrypro.com, BlueBrry.com. I'm sorry, you're getting a ding there. Let me turn that off.
Now the listener thinks that's their phone. They're like, oh my gosh.
You know, we have a production team it's a private entity that we vetted over about 18 months, and they do remarkable, remarkable work. It is a premium package. So if you go over to blueberrypro.com, you say, oh my God, that Todd, that's too expensive for my budget. Reach out to me. We have some additional opportunities for production as well. But largely, we help a lot of companies launch their show with full editing suite, everything.
Cool. Now, let's jump in. How many things, Todd, do you think you could actually... Well, actually, here, before we do that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with a number of the worst advice Todd's ever heard, probably on Clubhouse. We'll be right back.
Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show.
And we're back with the Todd Cochran, and we're going to be talking about the worst advice that he's ever seen, whether it's on Clubhouse or wherever, because now there's just so many podcast gurus out there. And I think he's about to have his blood boiling or a heart attack or whatever they call it. So, Todd, what are the major things that you keep seeing that you're just like, why would you say that? That's not even true or whatever.
Well, you know, again, about 80% of the stuff I'm hearing is good advice. And then every once in a while, someone just throws a zinger out there. So everyone's heard about a funnel, right? So you got to have if you're doing a business podcast, you have to have a funnel. You get them into the website or get them to the show. You got to get them to sign up for the mailing list. And this is one of the first worst piece of advice I heard is an individual told a new podcaster that they should have the ability to collect a email address for someone that visited their website. Now, we've all seen those pop-ups before that when you land on the website, you're there for, you know, 15, 20 seconds. You start to move your mouse to move off the page and the pop-up comes up signing up for my newsletter. Personally, those drive me crazy because if I'm new to your website, I don't even know who you are yet. And I don't know what your authority is. I have no clue. If I've discovered you because of Google or a recommendation, I want to check you out a little bit. There's a place and a purpose for a funnel. It isn't 5 seconds after you land on a homepage. You can go ahead and tamper down those funnels a little bit so that they're not just hammering you. So the piece of advice I heard was the podcast guru told the podcaster that you should wait 5 seconds before putting your funnel newsletter piece right up in the middle of the page so that you can collect that email address. I think that's horrible advice. I really, really do. Need to tamper down, be a little bit calmer with trying to get that person into your funnel. So we all want to build a mailing list. I think it's important for all of us. But that's one of the pieces of advice I get. And people can kind of differ on that. But if you don't know who someone is yet, do we really want to get hammered? If you use a perspective, someone's discovering you for the first time, don't we give them a little time to check out the website, give them the opportunity to subscribe to the show before we whiz them into the funnel to try to get them in a newsletter?
Okay. I can see your point definitely. And I also see on the other side, and I will say that obviously with 85,000 people paying a subscription to you every month or so, with 85,000 people, you're obviously doing something right in business. It is not easy to manage that amount of people, to support that amount of people, to even to get in front of that amount of people. That's incredible stats. So I think what you're saying is makes a lot of sense. But I have seen a lot of people that get massive value also where they're really pushy, they're really like funnily, they're really, I mean, when you spam people basically with emails, it seems like you're probably going to turn off 90 something percent. You're probably going to turn them off, but there is a way to be successful that way too, or at least to make money. So I like what you're saying. And I'm not arguing it. I'm just trying to think on all sides of it.
Yeah. So don't get me wrong. I think there is a place to get people into a newsletter where you can market to them. I just don't think it's 5 seconds after they've landed on the homepage.
Yeah.
So, you know, my advice to them would have been is there are options in those software packages to be able to say how long before the pop-up comes up or what action the person's doing before they're leaving before the pop. So you can tamper that a little bit. So again, that would have been more of my advice is not just to hit them in the face, you know, punch them in the face 5 seconds after they've landed on the website. Now, I think maybe this one you can agree with me on. There was a gentleman that was starting, is a lawyer, and he's going to be doing a show about the law, and he's just going to be talking about general topics. He's not going to be talking about to come over here and hire me because I'll get you $55,000 because of your car accident. It wasn't one of those types of shows. And the advice that was given to the new podcaster was just getting started out was, you need to you need to 1000% focus on local so that you get a local audience listening to your show because most podcasts are not consumed globally. And I was just like, what?
That cannot be true. It's like every podcast is consumed globally.
Right.
I've helped a number of people start podcasts, like just from the very beginning. Right. And mostly they start trending in Saudi Arabia first, and then they start maybe trending in the US, and then it's Britain, and then it's the Philippines, and then it's like it's all over. They're not even promoting to the Philippines or to Britain or to Saudi Arabia, but they're getting downloads. I know that the show that I sold, we were in like 20 countries, and there was a few of those that I didn't even speak the language. I'm like, what? How does it go there? So no, completely agree with that 100%. And go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're going to be doing a show on, let's say, Seattle news, well, then of course you're going to 100% focus local because that's going to be about Seattle. But at the same time, a lot of people who lived in Seattle that don't live there anymore may want to keep up to date what's going on with Seattle. But if you're going to do a local show, you're doing a local show. Or if he was trying to, let's say he's living in the state of, let's just say Texas, and he's a lawyer that is an ambulance chaser. And I'm not saying that's what that guy was, but let's say he's the guy that's going to get you the $55,000 for that, you know, the car that hit you in the rear end. Then he's going to market in Texas. He's not going to want to, you know, he's going to focus on. So there's a right answer for the right type of show. So, you know, I thought the advice was just horrendous.
One of the things that I learned from you, I was about to share, Gary Vee's always saying jab, jab, right hook. Just going back to the part where you were talking about the funnel and the pop-ups and just smacking them in the face, that just, it made me think of the jab, jab, right hook. And the jabs are like these kind things, these adding value, like a lead magnet, for example, where you're giving them something that they want. And then like later on, maybe you hit them hard, but you got to start with the jabs. They're going to see a right hook coming a mile away if that's all you're doing, for sure. So good stuff. How about two more big ones where definitely just you say the wrong advice, the wrong way to start a podcast, or the wrong way to post-production, or should you be editing it yourself? Should you not be? Should you be cutting out ums and ahs? What else are you kind of seeing that a lot of people are saying backwards?
Well, one thing I just do want to say up front is there's no rules in podcasting. Okay. And I think that should go without saying is you do it the way you want to do it. But I would say that there are probably some guidelines out there that I feel personally that should be followed. The one piece of advice I heard about a show launch was the podcaster was told a potential new podcaster said, and this is, you know, I would have got in front of this person a lot sooner if I'd had the chance, but this person had already pre-recorded 25 episodes. And someone had gave him advice to do that, to get those in the can before they launch. My advice to podcasters is that it's okay to have 2, 3, 4, 5 in the can. But what's going to happen is the show is going to morph. By episode 10 or 12, you're going to be making tweaks to it. And if you put 25 in the same format and that format is not working, you're stuck with 25 episodes. So the advice that came from what I heard in the clubhouse room was that you should publish all 25 of those episodes at once. I was like, not screaming, no, don't do that, because most podcatchers will typically download the last 3 to 5 episodes and that's it. So if you're going to launch a show, yeah, go ahead and launch with a couple of episodes if you want. I personally think you should launch with one episode and then go on a normal publishing schedule. It gives you time to promote the show, build, make adjustments and changes to the show as you're getting going. And even if you have 3, 4, 5, 10 in a can, then, you know, make those plans for those changes on episode 11 that you're going to record in week 2 of your show being out. But I just think that the advice of that person being given, launch all 25 at once, was a bad idea. If you are a nationally known name and you are going to put out a series and you have a big PR team and lots of money, yeah, you can probably launch with 25 episodes or 10 or 12. But you got to have the marketing push behind that. So again, there's no rules in how you do this, but there are strategies you can use. If you're going to launch with 25, then, you know, you got to have a budget to launch with 25. If you're new and you don't have a budget, you launch with 2 or 3, then make adjustments as your audience starts to give you feedback on the show. So it was just a different, I wouldn't say advice. I would have given that person a different methodology in launching with the pre-recorded show. Well, first of all, if I'd have been advising them, there would never have been 25 pre-recorded episodes, but I didn't get in front of that person in time.
I have to admit that I'm doing that now. So we're recording this episode before the podcast actually launches. Launch date of the podcast is April 2nd, and I was going to go massive, I am planning on doing it. I was just going to do 6 on the first day and then probably do like 1 a day for a while. So I'm actually, and with what you said, I'm putting a crazy amount of money behind, and not a crazy amount. There's companies that are doing $1 million or $2 million or $10 million. I don't have that kind of money.
Right,
I'll be doing $25,000 or so just on promoting it, going to my list, which I do have a pretty good following and stuff like that. So
see, that's perfectly acceptable. You've got a plan on how to launch with the show with that number of episodes. This was just an independent podcaster that had created 25 okay. episodes already.
Yeah.
So it's again,
that makes so much sense.
That's why I preface with there's no rules and there's just strategies you can use. And there's different strategies applied to different folks as launching new shows. I'm still of the belief you shouldn't launch with 6. I think you should launch with 3, then launch a couple of days later. Just keep feeding the beast. If you want, you know, it's again, okay. It depends on how you guys are going to launch. And you're having success in launching other shows. So if you found a formula, use that formula, replicate it. I have a formula. I've preach that to podcasters that I'm working with, and I have them replicate that formula too. There's different formulas that work in the space.
All right, Todd, one last piece. Give it to me. What's the last piece of horrible advice that we shouldn't do?
So you're launching on a website, on a .com, but what I've heard, some advice given was a company was getting ready to do a show about their company, and they were going to use it as a lead gen. And, you know, there's a lot of podcasts doing that. They're for consultants, for financial advisors, you know, there's lots of folks doing podcasts to use a lead gen, build that authority. That's all great, man. Those are podcasts, print $100 bills, or hopefully $1,000 bills. They, you know, they just do well. So the advice that was given, the guy asked, should I put the podcast on my own website or should I put it on a different .com? And the advice that was given back is you should put that show on a different .com so you don't cause issues with your existing brand. I wanted to slam my head into a cement wall. You're building your brand on your .com. You're building your business. You've got a pre-existing user base that's going there. You've got Google juice. You have all this stuff that's, you know, you spent time and money and branding, and you would never put a new show that has this objective that is directly aligned. I mean, not a separate piece of the business, directly aligned with the original business. Never put that show on another.com. You know, in all honesty, I was in bated breath listening to this. I'm saying, are the other co-hosts that are in this session or in this Clubhouse session going to step up and say, no, that's a bad idea? No one said nothing. They let it go. And in my opinion, that'll be the type of customer that will come to me 6 months from now and say, Todd, we're having problems growing our podcast. Can you spend some time with me? And I will get on the phone with this person. And within 10 minutes, I'll be exasperated. I'll say, okay, we're going to help you fix this. We're going to get you moved over. We're going to get you set up on your own website. You are going to redirect the stuff from that site you started to your website. You know, we're going to unscrew this mess up. That's the type of person that's going to come to me and beg for help later. So
yeah,
vet who you're getting advice from. Ask them, how many podcasts have you launched? Were you successful in your own podcast? All these questions should be asked by potential podcasters to vet who they're talking to.
And I would have to imagine that having the podcast go ahead and launch on your website as part of your main business, it seems like the constant updating of the website, like once a week for, you know, if you're doing it once a week or whatever, that helps with SEO, Google searches, the blog, maybe having a transcript or whatever that helps people when they're searching. Just seems like it also pulls people to your website. If they're going to go to, why put them way over here when they could be right here where you want them? So I think that's very wise
advice. You know, and I always tell people, you record your podcast for your audience, you write your show notes for Google. And I don't care where people discover my show. If they discover my show on Spotify, fantastic. They're listening over there. But they're going to know when they listen to my show where my website is, so that they can, and I'm going to give them a reason to come to the website. Because why do I want them to come to the website? I want to get them in the funnel. I want to get them signed up for the newsletter. I want to get them back to the website. I don't care where they discover the show. And if they discovered it on the website, then I maybe get a two punch. Maybe I get them subscribed to the podcast and maybe they listen to the first episode. I say, by the way, on the website, you can sign up for the newsletter. And they go back and sign up for the newsletter. So it's about building trust, building authority. This is not that complicated. And you can still all do the stuff you do. Promote on Facebook, post on social media, you know, all the different locations. When I lost my podcast, there was none of that. There was your.com. That's all you had in some forums. Remember, Facebook didn't exist. Twitter didn't exist. None of that existed. So we had to do the groundwork to go to where our audience was hanging out and make sure that they knew where to find us, where to find the show.
I had a fun time with you today, Todd. Thank you for jumping on. I'm going to let you go, but I will just remind the listener that the link to the website is blueberry.com. It's spelled a little different, so don't even worry. Just scroll down. And also the three links to your three podcasts, so you can go and check you out, are there. Any parting advice?
Sorry for all about the dings. I figured out where it was coming for 3/4 of the way through. So, but hey, thank you for checking us out. And hey, if you are a podcaster and you want a free 30-day trial, use the promo code founder. Hope I was allowed to pitch, but
founder. Okay. Use the promo code founder if they go to blueberry.com.
There you go.
And okay. And founder has all the vowels, right?
That's right. All the vowels.
All right. Perfect. Thank you, Todd. I'm going to let you go. Bye for now.
This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.